Brett Hollander back here on WBAL News Radio 1090, joined now by our noon to three host on WBAL News Radio 1090, the one and only Derek Big Game Hunter. Derek, well, how are you?
That's all I am to you, is your noon to three host. I like to think I'm a little bit more. I think I'm your...
Confidant? Mortal enemy?
Both. A little from column A, a little from column B. Definitely better looking. Smarter.
Barely. Cooler. In both categories.
At least you admit it. You're a better man.
You are also our resident entertainment expert. Always a fun and entertaining topic on your show. You spent the first hour of your show today talking about a big-time motion picture that had a historically huge weekend.
It was a huge opening.
American Sniper, which I do want to talk about in some way. I plan on seeing it this coming weekend. I've seen a lot of the other award movies.
The nominated ones.
I saw Imitation Game. I saw Birdman. Liked them both. Love Birdman. It's not for everybody. That's kind of the sense I get about a lot of these movies.
Most of these movies are incredibly, incredibly small. Whiplash is, it looks...
Never heard of it.
Yeah. Selma was nominated. That just came out.
Birdman's been leaking out for months.
What
in
else
some
has
ways.
Been nominated? The Theory of Everything, about the story of the life of Stephen Hawking. If you look at the box office, aside from American Sniper, which beats their entire box office combined for just their opening weekend, the biggest grossing movie I believe that's nominated is The Grand Budapest Hotel, which I did actually watch this weekend.
It was I on hear that's
HBO.
Good.
It was good. It was...
If you like Wes Anderson.
You have to like Wes Anderson. I like Wes Anderson. I loved Bottle Rocket, and I loved The Royal Tenenbaums, and one of my favorite movies is Rushmore. And then I kind of lost interest in Wes Anderson because I felt like... I don't like it when everybody's quirky, when everybody's weird, but it fits in this movie much more so, probably because it's set at a different time. It's set in the past. It was just interesting. It was entertaining. I wouldn't say it was a great movie, like you've got to see this, but you will be entertained by it.
And of course, it's always a matter of opinion, and it's personal preference for all these movies, and just because a movie's nominated or wins Best Picture or has the best actor or actress in it, that doesn't mean it's a great movie or that everyone's going to like it. And I imagine that Boyhood, would you say that Boyhood's the clubhouse leader, the odds-on favorite to take on Best Picture right now for the Oscars?
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you look at the Golden Globes and the Critics Awards and things like that, it's one of those movies, and you and I have had this conversation. I've had this conversation with just about everybody I know who's seen Boyhood. Although everybody loves it more than I do.
Not me.
When you discuss it with them, you get them to admit some real truths, that their real love of this movie is not the movie itself, because it is, there's nothing happening in this movie. This movie is about growing up, but it's not about landmark moments in your life and growing up, your first kiss or anything. No, it's not about that at all. It's just every year they sort of look in, peer in on this family and move on. There's nothing, there's no overriding theme. There's nothing, there's no big high or big low in it at all. It's a straight up slice of life. It's innovative in that it was shot over 12 years.
Right. And ambitious, creative.
It was a very innovative idea. And they shot for 2 weeks a year. They used the same kid starting when he was 6 years old up until he was 18 years old. And you
his sister in the movie, is that the same person all the way through?
Yes, it is. It's actually the director's daughter, too. And
isn't that convenient?
Ethan Hawke and Patricia Arquette. But the weird thing about that movie is it really is just a slice of life. You can't emphasize how little actually happened. At the end, he sort of has a girlfriend and deals with breakup for the first time. But it's not even really focused on very much. There's no sense of first kiss. There's no loss. The parents are divorced when you start, so you don't have to see the trauma of going through a divorce as a child. There is no death to speak. Grandparents don't die or anything like that. It is.
There's some seminal moments in there built in.
Semi-seminal. The first seven years of his life fly by because clearly they didn't want to work with a kid.
I watched this movie with my wife last night. We both had, and we don't always have the same movie or TV preference, but we both had the same exact reaction to this one. And for long portions of the movie, I was even checking out Twitter and on my phone. I mean, there are parts of it that are downright boring. And I feel like I'm a cerebral guy who likes, deep, thought-provoking movies. This was not that. And everyone told me how relatable everything
is. There's no message in this movie.
There's no message.
There's no nothing in this movie. The you could find this. This movie would, I think, be just as interesting if you skipped ahead chapter to chapter by year and just watched people age.
Right.
That's the most interesting thing about this movie, is not only watching the kids grow up, but you get to watch Ethan Hawke and Patricia Arquette age. No other adults are really in the movie. There's one that sort of makes a reappearance at the end of the movie from a few years prior. But in general, you forget that they exist. It's just watching people age.
It really is that. To me, the only thing I can say that it reminds me of is how, and I liked the first few seasons of Mad Men. I think I couldn't even finish. I can't catch up on Netflix. Yeah, it's
tough
worth
to watch.
My time.
It's tough to Mad Men, when it first came out, I remember watching the first season and liking it, but now looking back on it, because the second season I thought was terrible until everybody quit and they formed their own agency at the last episode. But I remember liking it at the time, but I now think back on it, because you catch an episode occasionally on rerun on the weekends, and it's boring. Nothing happens.
Nothing happens.
And you think,
and it goes nowhere.
Maybe I liked this, and maybe critics went crazy for it, because it's like a look back into a nostalgic time.
And that's kind of cool.
But that's worn off. So now you're just left with the fact that the shine of the nostalgia is gone.
And Draper's an interesting guy.
Don.
And Don's an interesting guy, and he's fun to follow and fun to watch. But other than that, it's incredibly repetitive. And it goes absolutely nowhere. To me, that's kind of like Boyhood. I'm told by everyone how great it is, mm-hmm. and you watch it, and it kind of goes nowhere. And then also, on Boyhood, you do have, and maybe it's more nostalgic for me than it is for you, because, you know, I was definitely younger during the last, you know, it covers periods that are very familiar to me.
You were younger at certain parts of
certain
the last
parts,
few years.
Yeah, so, that's a good way to put it. So, there is some sense of, like, time capsule moments, and they use certain songs very specifically to encapsulate that moment in what the movie is trying to
show. You can see the early years in the movie, they seem to try and hammer things home to instill in the viewer that time. So in a way, it's sort of a little too on the nose. In 2008, the parents are very interested in working for Barack Obama.
Very.
And it, like, okay, like of all the, because it doesn't go anywhere. There's no lesson to be learned
None.
From it. It's just we're putting out lawn signs and we're stealing John McCain lawn signs. But there's no lesson, no moral, no development that carries on later. It's just there it is. They're campaigning for Barack Obama. So they really want to hammer. This is 2008.
I've been told by critics, and we've had a few on the show, that they say this movie speaks to their childhood and their experience growing up, and that's what they love about it.
Well, I feel sorry for them, because their childhoods were incredibly boring, whereas mine was much more exciting and eventful, apparently. Now, I'm going to go call on my parents and apologize to them for any resentment.
I'm just glad that, and I thought you would agree with me if you saw it, and I knew coming into work today that if I asked you that, you would have the same feelings about the movie, and we agree on it completely.
It's almost 3 hours long on top of it.
It is 3 hours
long. So it's 3 hours of really nothing happening. That sounds harsh, but it's accurate. I don't mean it as an attack. It's innovative filmmaking. The performances, except for the main kid, are fine.
How can it win Best Picture?
Because it's innovative. That's it. I mean, people love the concept. It's fairly risky to make a movie over the course of 12 years.
I feel bad for the star of the movie, who was not, you know, didn't volunteer to be in this for 12 years of his life. I get only 2 weeks a year, but you are still committing a huge portion of your childhood to be out there. You're not making that call. And these are the kind of stories that unfortunately have bad endings for the actors that have to go through something like this.
Well,
but this is unprecedented.
It's unprecedented, so we don't really know what the future holds for him. But I just look at it from a risk-taking filmmaker perspective. At any point over, if you are committing to 12 years of a project with five really, if you include Richard Linklater, the director, at any point, one of them could die, which would change everything. And in fact, his daughter, who plays the daughter in the movie, wanted out at one point.
Really?
She did.
Why?
She grew up. She started when she was like 6 or 7. When she becomes an angry teenager,
she's very annoying.
16,
in the movie.
She doesn't want to do it anymore. And He said, no, we're not. If we kill you, your character off, it would change the movie. Theoretically, he had a vision in his head of what this movie would ultimately look like, if not be about. But, you know, you run the risk. Ethan Hawke could have died in a plane crash. Patricia Arquette could have died in a car accident. Richard Linklater could have fallen off a building. You never know. And you're committed to 12 years of this project. So in that sense, it was very risky. But in what if the kid who you hired at age six, at age 16, is not interested?
Yeah.
How are you going to hold a 16-year-old to a contract
signed by his parents?
By his parents when he was 6 years old? You can't do that. And it would have just been a nightmare. What if he turned out, you know, he's 800 pounds and never leaves the couch and is a world championship video gamer? That would have changed the movie dramatically. So there is
a, did they write it all out and then
I don't know.
Adapt?
I don't know. But I imagine that they had to have some sort of sense that sooner or later you're going to have a love interest.
The
first
way
love.
It actually kind of
if
plays
he's
out.
An orca, if he's Michael Moore, nobody wants to watch that love interest.
It does actually seem, when I think about it now looking back, and again, I watched this last night, incredibly random where it goes.
Right.
And it doesn't tell you anything. You just kind of appear at a new age. There's no context at all given. So they may have written it every year.
They could have just ad-libbed. Here's a bit of a spoiler alert. There's a couple of years in there where Patricia Arquette, who just makes horrible decisions when it comes to men, ditches husband. Two more husbands, I think.
Yeah,
two more husbands go away. And one of them is an abusive jerk. It's fairly apparent that he's an abusive jerk. It's self-evident. The other one is portrayed like he is an abuse. The second one, the guy who's drunk when he's on the porch.
Yeah, this is amazing to me. It's just one day he's a bad guy.
But I didn't even see him as a particularly bad guy. The first husband was the teacher or whatever. He was clearly a jerk. The second one was always nice, was always helping, was always doing this.
In fact, and then, portrayed as a hero at one
and
point.
And then his son comes home incredibly late, and he's sitting on a porch having a beer, waiting for his son or his stepson to come home to find out what the hell's going on. And he's all of a sudden as bad as the guy who was physically abused. It didn't make any...
So the randomness of it is incredible.
It's literally like a slice of life, and you're left to fill in the blanks, but they didn't give you enough to fill in those blanks because there was nothing indicating that that guy was anything other than a decent person.
Derek Hunter, this has been fun. We should review a movie a week for all time.
Let's just review Raiders of the Lost Ark every week.
Or Back to the Future.
Every week.
Let's just do it.
Every week we come in with a different take on it.
Great.
We rewatch it every week for a year. So we watch it 52 times in a year.
We should start with the 80s and then, or the late 70s and go.
No. We just pick one movie that we review 52 times. We review it every week. And we rewatch it every week and we see if we notice anything different and see if we're still sane at the end of it.
That's a good, good science experiment. He's the Derek Hunter, and he's coming up in just a few hours at noon right here on WBAL.
You'll probably nap first. Get a nap first.